out there, everyone, and podcast in NPR land. Welcome back to the Front Row Podcast, the podcast for people who actually like movies. And man, oh man, is there a big one coming out, releasing tomorrow on Disney Plus, is the premiere of the Hamill film. Hamilton, the stage production that was filmed by Disney, is going to be dropping on Disney Plus. And of course, if you've been following us on the Front Row this week, we have been doing hashtag Hamilton Week with tons of videos and podcasts all there. Right before we get started on this one, though, do want to call out tomorrow, we are actually dropping an interview with the man currently playing Alexander Hamilton on Broadway, Julius Thomas III. You will not want to miss that one. But why are you here? Because you might have heard our part one of ranking the songs of Hamilton, and we did want to just leave it there. But we had some people who told us, you know, well, you got to rank the rest. So I guess that's what we're doing. Yeah, I'm Jeremy Gechner.
Any of the good ones. Yet.
I know, right? I'm Jeremy Gechner, the editor-in-chief. With me, as always, is my wife, Sarah Baltusevich Gechner. Say what up.
Yo, 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 yo.
What time is it? Ranking time. all right. So if you listened to the last one, you remember how this works. We've been ranking them into tiers because there are 46 songs in this musical, and we are ranking every single one of them. So we busted them up into tiers, and then we're doing them kind of that way. And now we are pleased to reveal that we have the next, the top 24 songs in Hamilton is what we're about to reveal, Sarah.
That's tough stuff.
Yeah, it is tough. And I can't reiterate that enough, people. This was murder on us because we love every single one of these songs so much.
Yeah, I know. As I look at it now, I'm like, oh, are we sure?
I know. I'm looking at this list right now in front of us and I'm just like, but this one could be here. And I just don't know. I just don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, we're going to get guff for whatever we pick, but this is what we went with. We're sticking with our guns.
That's right. We're sticking with our guns here. And just let's do a quick recap of what we did. So in tier four, with the bottom tier, we had 11 songs. We started with Farmer Refuted. Then our next ranked up was Skylar Defeated. After that was Blow Us All Away. After that, we had A Winter's Ball. And then the Adams Administration.
That's the only reason.
Yes. Number six in that tier, we had What Comes Next. Number five, we had I Know Him. So
I think
both
we actually
of those,
flipped those.
We did. We kind of messed those up in there. But basically, the two King George songs that aren't You'll Be Back. after that, number four in that tier was We Know. After that, The Story of Tonight reprise. Then Your Obedient Servant. And then topping tier four was The Best of Wives and Best of Women. In tier three, we led that one off with Washington on Your Side. The number 10 in that one was with The Reynolds Pamphlet. I can't say it that way. The Reynolds Pamphlet. Number nine was Cabinet Battle number one. Number eight was Cabinet Battle number two. Number seven, Say No to This. Number six, What Did I Miss? Number five was Meet Me Inside. Meet Me Inside. Number four was Aaron Burr, Sir. Number three, The Stay Alive reprise. Number two, Guns and Ships. And so the balance shifts. And number one was Stay Alive. Nice. You had that ready. You had that just ready there. All right. So that's where we sit right now. Those are the songs that have been in there. Those are 22 songs. And now we've got the top 24 here. Okay. So this is tier number two. This is just not quite the top tier, but, you know, pretty good. Sarah, so why don't you tell us, where are we leaving off here? What is number 12 in tier two?
All right. Tier two, we start with The Election of 1800.
I like this song a lot, and it's because it's a very pivotal part of the show, right? I mean, it's definitely kind of what sets in action the very last part of this show.
Kind of what makes Burr be like, bitch!
All right, so we're doing this. Yeah,
I'm the president.
But actually, oh my god, yes, David Diggs in this at the end. Oh, you, I can change that. I'm the president.
I literally said that all the time.
I know, right? And this is actually great because a lot of people, I don't think, know the history of the election of 1800, of how close it was and how literally, you know, Hamilton's breaking for Jefferson in that. Yeah. But also, I also really love this song because it kind of shows like how Burr has become that singular-minded, I will do anything to get
like,
what I want.
Like, even change
now.
Parties.
Yeah, exactly. And there's that great conversation that they have in the middle of this song that is, you know, Hamilton even says, he's like, oh, you're campaigning door-to-door, are you?
I love it when they're like, I would have a beer with him, and Burr's like, yes!
Yes!
But it's just like, yeah, it's like kind of a shocking moment, too, when he chooses Jefferson, because you're just like, really?
I know. And trust me, I hope they do this in the Hamill film.
I'm sure
but
they will.
Like right when that happens, like there's this little like jig that Madison and Jefferson do that's just so fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, it is kind of like a burn from Hamilton.
Oh,
like,
it's a huge historical burn.
Seriously, dude?
Seriously, look up the election of 1800. It shifted so many things in the politics of this country at the time. And the song's just great. It slaps, man. It's got that driving force behind it. It's kind of got like a free flowing thing.
Just, The problem with the show is that there's just too many freaking good songs.
Yeah, so. I was about to say, we just gushed over the song that's basically number 24 on our list. So.
It's great, though. I mean, it's a great moment. It's just not one of the, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right, well, that was number 12. Number 11 in this is going to be Take a Break.
Run away with us for the summer. Let's go upstate. I'm just going to sing them all.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Hey, our kid is pretty great.
Run away with us for the summer. Let's go upstate.
I've got so much on my plate.
Well, I think you're hitting on what I love most about this is just the melody is so pretty.
Yeah, it's
in
really,
this
really
one.
Pretty.
Anything that Philippa and Renee get to sing is really quite pretty
in
the show.
And I love like that moment when he's like, Skyler Sisters. No. Because it's just like he brings it back.
And this is something that you caught when we listened to this song for the first time is like how Lynn continues to use the same musical motive.
Yeah.
Like for different aspects. So like when you hear, like, why don't you explain it, like, the way you told it to me about the names and how they,
oh, you mean, like,
yeah.
Eliza, like, Eliza.
Yeah, like, how.
Yeah. I mean, anytime, like, they say Eliza's name or Angelica's name, they always sing it the same way as they did in the first Skyler Sisters. And it's just, like, this kind of, I don't know, it always gets me, like, when, like, Angelica gets there and I just set a bone and he's like, Skyler, because it's exactly the same melody from the first one, but it's like such years later and it's like just the way he's looking at them. And it's like his relationship with Angelica is really weird.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, this is a little bit of where we get, you know, some more of that about like the comma and stuff.
Literally, and I saw the funniest meme the other day.
I know,
like,
right?
Did you see that? Yes. It was like the guy with like the crazy, like,
yeah, the conspiracy guy.
And it's like, only Angelica can get this crazy conspiracy of like a comma in the middle of a phrase.
He misplaced a comma.
But it's like, it's true though. Like Hamilton's so deliberate with everything he does. Like there had to be a reason for that.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, I mean, it's a cute song. It doesn't like do a whole lot for, you know, it's just,
well, and it also, but it does set up, it's basically the setup for, yeah, Say No to This, because every time, you know, it's such this beautiful, like, it's a melody that makes you like, yeah, man, go on, you know, go have some fun.
And it's also like, he has no problem saying no to that, but he can't say no.
Exactly.
To
and he keeps doing the common refrain of what Alexander's downfall is, just like, you know, I have to get my plan through Congress. And he's just constantly, constantly working and stuff. And, you know, we know for good ends, but it ultimately does lead to bad ends. All right.
It's a cute little song.
Yeah, it's a great song. I love that one. So, what's our number 10 here?
Our number 10 is the Ten Dual Commandments.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. It's the Ten Dual Commandments.
I freaking love this song. And not for nothing, but very historically accurate. You know, this does give you a great rundown of how duels worked.
We were watching something that had a duel. Like it was Outlander the other day, and I was like, I know how to duel.
I know exactly how to do this. Thank you, Lin-Manuel Miranda. No, but the way that this is structured, like just using it with that R&B drive behind it and just like how it explained, like I can literally tell you how a duel works because of this, because I memorized the lyrics to this.
Yeah, like I know that like a doctor had to turn his back to have deniability.
Have deniability. Summon all the courage you require. It's just a really great song. And of course it sets up the Meet Me Inside, and this is the duel between John Lawrence and Charles Lee. After Charles Lee, of course, craps the bed at the Battle of Monmouth. I don't really have a ton to say about this. It's just like so fantastic. The wordplay is just so amazing in this one.
It's great. Like it's educational and fun to listen to.
Educational and delightful. All right, so Sarah, what is our number 9?
The man is nonstop.
So we have
So this is the finale of Act 1. And, you know, honestly, when I first heard the soundtrack, I was kind of mad that, like, Yorktown
did
was
I not say
end.
That to you?
I know, right?
I was like, what the hell?
Like, why the hell? Like, Yorktown is such a huge, like, big, bombastic number. And then, like, we have this, but we have, like, the downturn with Dear Theodosia, too. And then, like, this is the one. But I got to say, though, the more I listen to Nonstop, the more I love it as an Act 1 finisher.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of just, like, ties a whole bunch of things together. It just, like, kind of, like, gives you a bunch of information in a kind of quick way, mm-hmm. like, you know, like what happened after the war quickly.
Yeah, and the prolific things Alexander did.
Yeah, because Act 2 is moving more towards, like, the White House era and
yeah,
stuff like
clear,
that, so
it,
it's
division.
Necessary for that move forward. And but, yeah, it's a great song. It has some, I mean, it changes motives a lot.
Oh, yeah, and it brings back all of the motives yeah. from a bunch of the other songs. We got
kinda
Helpless
overlaps.
In there. We got
kinda
That
Would
Be Enough.
Kind of reminds me of Man Up from Book of Mormon.
It does,
right?
Actually. Well, I mean, there's a lot of finales. They did like One Day More from Les Mis, where they yeah. bring back a lot of the songs that you've yeah. just heard into one, you know, compact, concise thing. But yeah, I do love like the beginning there, though, where you just see how prolific Alexander is after the war. It's like yeah. this guy literally helps win the war, win independence.
He wrote
and he's
the
like,
other 51.
Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, that is in this, isn't it? Where he writes the Federalist Papers, yeah. Where he writes 51 of the 85 essays.
Yeah.
And again, like, I just love everything Aaron Burr gets to sing in this show, but I love the part after he says 51, and then he starts going into, like, the how do you write, like, you're running out of time, but he mm-hmm. has, like, this, like, frantic, like, I don't get you, like, type thing in his voice that Leslie Odom does. It's just like, what the hell? How do you do this?
And our other favorite is I was chosen for the
Constitutional Convention.
We love it.
Yeah, Hamilton's feeling himself here.
He really is.
I also like it that one. I practiced law, I practically perfected it.
I also like I practiced law, Burr worked next
door.
Alex, this just has a lot of really good lines.
Yeah,
so.
Alex is feeling himself hard in this one. So this one's great. But honestly, I think it's probably one of the better Act 1 finales of the last, of the 2000s, I think.
Well, sure. I mean, it's not like a something you would just like pop on like I don't get
hey let's
on,
listen
like,
to Nonstop.
Yeah, but yeah, it wraps up things well.
Yeah,
I mean,
it does.
Yorktown does give you like the big moment and the world turned upside down stuff, but then this I get why.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's great that they have that separation. You're right, we got Revolution and then we've got the Governing, which
right.
is a bit
so it has
which
to,
is kind of where Alex's life takes
you
a
can't
huge
just
turn.
Go from Yorktown to the White House without something.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and I do like at the end I'm not throwing away my shot is how we end that one. So
right.
All right, let's move on to number 8 here, which is Right Hand Man.
Here comes
the general,
ladies and gentlemen.
Here comes the general,
the moment you've been waiting for.
Here comes the general,
the pride of Mount Vernon.
Here comes the general,
it's Washington.
So this one, you're right, like the beginning of this song is just so
it's
fantastic.
I want this music like to announce my entry into the ring.
I know,
right? Boom, boom, boom.
He'll be like, here comes the Sarah.
Literally. I want it
but
all the
I swear to God, no, you're right. Like, I literally cannot stop, like, bobbing my head up and down at the beginning.
I know,
this.
I had it on the car the other day, and Gims was like, Mommy dancing.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, we have to dance to this. But of course, this is our introduction to Christopher Jackson as George Washington. And Jesus, man, just let the man sing everything in the world.
Yeah, just butter.
Butter voice.
But he's also just like awesome. Like he just has so much power.
Yes. No. And it takes an actor of Christopher Jackson's caliber to pull off this kind of thing of George Washington.
This whole number is just so catchy. Like the whole, we are outgunned. Like that whole part.
Outman.
Yeah.
What?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. The other day I was watching Outlander again, and she met George Washington.
Yeah.
And I was like, here he comes.
Here he comes. Here comes a general. Yeah, but I also do, you're right, like we read in the book about, I think, Hamilton the Revolution, about how Lynn mm-hmm. specifically writes him his rap section at the beginning very rigid, you know, mm-hmm. very like even keel, like, you know, a military person you would think would be. And then as it keeps going and the war starts frustrating
gets
him a little
frantic,
bit. Yeah. And I believe this is also where we get the meeting for the first time of George and Alexander, where he asks him.
He tells Burr to leave.
Yeah, he It's like Fiverr.
Poor Bert.
No, yeah. Don't feel. No, actually, we should. We'll get to that though. But yeah, like I love the conversation that the two of them have with each other about, you know, where George is talking about seeing himself in Alexander, and you know, like it's like, oh, so why are you upset? He's like, I'm not. It's like he's just playing him so hard. It's so great.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great number. I think we like thought about putting this one higher, but I just.
Yeah.
I don't know. We just had a.
But I mean, you keep looking at what's ahead of it, and I'm just like, what do you throw out? I mean,
yeah, we had this next one, number 7. We kind of went back and forth between these two, but,
yes,
but you know, it's.
That's true. Yeah. All right, well, why don't you introduce them to number 7?
Number 7 is You'll Be Buck.
I will send a fully armed battalion to remind you of my love. Da 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 da.
I think the reason it's just the funniest thing about this is just like the melody is so fun. It's just like this cute little melody, but the words are friggin' savage.
I know,
and it's great. And like you can't go see Hamilton or watch it without going da 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 da. It's just I love it. A lot of people, I don't know if people don't like this one or, but
I think this one's just an embarrassment of riches. You're right. It's got a very Beatles poppy vibe.
Yeah,
to
absolutely.
It. And I'm telling you, like when you see the show live, it's just like King George is just one of your favorite parts because he gets to just, you're right, like, and most of the time, like when they're performing this, they're very rigid, they're not moving a lot on stage. Because you're right, the lyrics are very, very savage.
They are. I mean, I will kill you, friends and family.
This is the way, remind you of my love.
The way he sings it, it's just like he's singing like,
yeah,
happy go lucky, like,
yeah, I mean, like,
gamers.
don't forget, like, the King George, this is the one that did go insane eventually. And I do love that they have that line in there, without your love I go mad, so don't throw away this thing we had. It's very, very interesting, but it does kind of give you a good perspective on like probably how the monarchs viewed the American colonies. It's just like, wait a minute, no, you're mine, you can't do this.
You're not supposed to do this.
Yeah, come on, man. No, but this one, you're right, it's just such a great pop melody there. Literally every time the song comes on in a live show, everybody's
doing
it.
The guy that plays this role gets to be on stage for like a total of 10 minutes. But like, I remember when we saw it, the guys freaking stole the show.
Oh yeah. Everybody
was dying.
Everybody in the theater was singing the refrain.
And to see like Brian D'Arcy in the beginning days and Jonathan Groff do it, like,
nothing better. It's really
I'm
great.
Good with my choice.
And it's a great bit of comedy that gets in there. Of course, this follows Samuel Savory, the farmer feuded.
Yeah.
And
because he introduces him.
Yeah. It's like, a message from the king and stuff, and then it goes into like this like pop song, and you're just, after all like the R&B heaviness that we've been getting,
yeah, it's nice, just little, a very, it kind of breaks up act one.
It does, actually. Yeah, it's a nice little breakup where you get to laugh and feel good, and then if you'll remember, right after this comes the bad part of the war. So
yeah.
All right, so that's our number 7. Number 6, History Has Its Eyes on You.
Let me tell you what I wish I'd known when I was young and dreamed of glory. You have no control. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?
Man, I can't believe this didn't make the top 12. This is just great. This is, of course, what leads into the Battle of Yorktown. And this is Chris Jackson singing as George Washington telling Hamilton, like, okay, I'm giving you your command. I'm giving you what you wanted. Yep. But remember right now, dude.
Like, this is going to be in the history books. Like, this is what people are going to remember, this, everything you do.
Yeah, and it's a very true story there about George Washington, his first battle as a general and such.
But it's a gorgeous song.
Oh my God. The way that this song is written is just, it's got that reverence to it.
I just,
you know,
feel like we need to say these words to a lot of people in this current climate. History has its eyes on you.
Yeah.
So.
People are going to remember what you're doing and saying in this time, people. So, but yeah, like, and of course, this is where we hear the first utterance of the finale and of the theme of this show. You have no control. Who lives, who dies, who tells your story?
And this theme, like, the history has its eyes on you, comes in a couple times throughout the show.
Yes,
so
it does.
It's just important. It's kind of the theme of the show. Like,
yeah, and it specifically comes in at the very, very end of Nonstop, at the end of Act 1, where George has asked him to be, you know, the Secretary of the Treasury. He's like, remember, dude.
Yeah.
This is stuff we're doing here. But yeah, God, such a great song. All right, what's number 5, Sarah?
Number 5 is The Story of Tonight.
Raise a glass to freedom, something they can never take away, no matter what they tell you.
Oh, I just sang this for a web series. Yeah, this... Look, My Shot is such a great song, and yes, it's going to show up in Tier 1, guys. I'm just going to burst the bubble here. But that song is so great and so visceral, introducing us not just to the characters of Lafayette Mulligan and Lawrence, but also into, you know, just the visceralness of the revolutionary cause. And then you get this song that is just this... Everybody's been drinking. It's kind of like the last song before of like Last
so,
Call.
It's so pretty.
The melody is so gorgeous, but the sentiment behind it as well of just, you know, raise a glass to freedom, something they can never take away, no matter what they tell you. And, you know, the sense of, you know, like, yeah, it's starting out small with us, but it's going to grow. Tomorrow there'll be more of us. Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. It's just a really simple, short little song, but it's just so important.
It leaves an impression.
Yeah. It's just, you know, these four guys that are just like, at the moment, it's just pipe dreams.
Yeah.
But what it actually becomes.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you gotten drunk and just made plans?
Yeah, exactly.
Plan after plan. That's what you do.
We're going to Cancun.
We're doing all these things. We don't do them, but they did.
They want to come. Tree.
So, yeah, it's
but also this is like this in My Shot, like these two songs specifically, I love that. And the thing that is the best thing about Hamilton is it brings these people who are legends and like just basically like tall tales and stories in our mind most of the time. It makes them real people who, you know, drank and got drunk with each other and dreamed about things. And this is definitely what that song, you know, brings out to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So number four is where we're at now. And in Tier 2, and that is going to be The World Was Wide Enough.
I should have known the world was wide enough for both Hamilton and me.
And this is the song right before the end of Act 1, or Act 2, the finale of the show. Yep. This is, of course, the story of Burr and Hamilton's duel that ends up killing Alexander. Man, this song is so epic.
Yeah, it's jam-packed. It really is. But, it, you know, it's just... I don't know. It's more like a storytelling song.
Yeah.
It's less of like a melodic thing that you want to sing along to, but it's more...
Except
it's,
the end, but yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's more so just like... jammed with like all the information about the duel and how it happened.
Yeah, because if I remember right, it starts with the 10 Duel Commandments motive, but it's Burr telling you 10 things you need to know about
this.
There
are 10 things you need to know.
And it's amazing because, like, you know, most of it, some of it's just like, you know, we rode across the Hudson at dawn and stuff.
Yeah,
and
but
like,
then like the details about Hamilton wearing his glasses. And
yes, which is actually something. Yeah, like that isn't in a bunch of history books, but yes, Hamilton was wearing his glasses, which many people infer that Burr meant like he's coming to.
This
isn't just a disagreement anymore. We're doing this. But of course, the one that always gets me is, you know, in this near the same spot, his son died. Is that why?
But yeah. And I love that, like, this comes from Burr's perspective.
Yes.
You know, it's just... And he's just so, like...
Well, we get both, don't we?
Mostly Burr. And it's just, like, he's so... Like, you can tell, like, in Leslie Odom's voice that it's just, like, it's ripping him apart.
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't want, like... Yeah, and it's just, like, the torn apartness of you know... he thinks that this guy's really going to kill him. He's going to make an orphan of his daughter and stuff. And, you know, he's trying to justify
his actions that have been vilified in history. Complete, like... Like, if his voice is frantic. His voice is just like, you can just tell he's just, I mean, he's at the edge here.
Yeah.
He just, the way like Odom sings this is just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
so those are the two parts at the beginning. Now, then we get into once, you know, Burr fires his shot,
the shot
gets frozen in time and we see Alexander basically, he's just kind of debating with himself, but all you hear is like the sound of the wind and he's talking about, you know, it's basically an a cappella rap, you know, like if I throw away my shot, is this how you'll remember me?
Yeah. It's basically like what happens when people say like right before you die, like things flash before you. And it's just a frozen moment that goes through his head before.
Yeah. And there's so many great lines in here talking like the one that always sticks out to me, you know, what is a legacy? It's planting seeds in a garden you never get to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just that one, but also, you know, like America, you great of Sisyphus, like a place where even orphan immigrants can leave their fingerprints and rise up. Like, just, like such beautiful, beautiful poetry that he's doing here. And again, I got to give credit to Lynn and Alex Lacrimoire about like how they score this. Like they don't do any, it's literally just the sound of wind is all I can hear.
It's nothing.
Yeah.
And you have to just stay on and like, yeah, the, whoever plays the role of Hamilton, it's hard.
And you have to emote like crazy.
Emote.
Of all the things to see in the Disney Plus version, I am so excited to see this part of song.
Me too.
Just at the end there, you know, like Burr getting to finally explain himself.
And then, then he says, I'm the villain in your history book.
Yeah, and he's, you know, what is his line? You know, like when Alexander aimed at the sky, he may have been the first one to die, but I'm the one who paid for it.
Yep.
And it's just like, and you're right, the way Leslie, like, he has such fragility in his voice
there. I lived, but I paid for it. Yeah,
and it's just like, you really, literally cannot help just from his vocal performance alone, just going like, Oh man.
You
like,
feel real bad for the guy.
You really do.
I mean, he just was defending himself, but yeah. Anyways, it's a great piece.
Great song. All of these are. Okay, what's number three, Sarah?
Number three is That Would Be Enough.
Look at where you are. Look at where you started. The fact that you're alive is a miracle. Just stay alive. That would be enough.
Oh man, you want to talk about gorgeous melodies and gorgeous sounding songs?
Yeah.
Just take the context of it out. Just the melody and the way it's instrumented is just so amazing. But of course, this is where Alexander finds out he's going to be a dad.
Yeah, and why, you know, he hasn't been put in the position that he wants to be in for so long.
Isn't that so cool?
Yeah, you know, he's kind of like, bitch, why didn't you tell me?
I don't think that's the sentiment.
I know, but it's like. You know, I've been working. If I would have known this, I wouldn't have been fighting so hard.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a beautiful moment between the two of them.
Yeah, and again, a motive that comes up over and over again, especially at the end of Nonstop, isn't this enough?
It could be enough.
And also kind of foreshadows, but kind of is proof positive of like the theme of like he will never be satisfied, you know, stuff
right,
like that.
Yeah,
and,
right.
You know, but it's just such a gorgeous melody. And of course, you know, at the end of it with that, which is
sucks.
The foreshadowing of it's quite
what's
going
to happen to the baby that she's pregnant with.
Oh man, Lynn, you brilliant bastard.
It's just, I don't know. There's not so much to say about this one. It's just, it's gorgeous.
It's just gorgeous. And you're right. Like you, when you hear it, you just can't skip it because it's just so pretty.
No, it's just so pretty. And it's just, you know, her trying to say like, you know, let us be enough for you. We don't need money. We don't need all these things that you think we need.
I want you, and that's it.
Yeah. So, and I think that's the sentiment for a lot of women. So it's
a lot of men too. You know, I think so.
Yeah, it's just beautiful.
All right, we are into the top two of tier two, and both of them have to do with Alexander's notorious affair, but different versions of it. So number two in this is Hurricane.
When I was 17, a hurricane destroyed my town. I didn't drown. I couldn't seem to die.
And I got to tell you, folks, this is a song that every time I hear it, I love it more
and
more.
Yeah, you love this one.
Well, it's just, you know, Alexander, like, in real life, Alexander Hamilton self-published his own infidelity to keep his governmental honor, if not his personal honor.
Yeah, I don't think Eliza was feeling honored by that.
Yeah, and so, like, I got to just, like, the way that that thought process plays out there, you know, and he's talking about, you know, but he, in this song, we also get like a first person perspective of his terrible upbringing, you know, in Puerto Rico, not like it just his tragedy filled upbringing in Puerto Rico.
Right.
And in the sense of, you know, especially when he talks about his mother, like, you know, like, you know, when I was 10, my mother died. She was holding me, you know, like stuff.
Holding. Oh, that crushes me. Yeah.
And then, like, but he keeps saying the same thing. It's like all these things. And he kept saying, like, I couldn't seem to die.
Yeah.
You know, even when he was in the middle of a hurricane in Puerto Rico and stuff, he couldn't seem to die.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's thinking it's got to be for a purpose. And how did he get out of all of those tragic situations? He wrote his way out.
Yep.
And I'll write my way out
like,
again.
You know, he's like, this time is a little bit different, but yeah, I guess I got to write my
way out. But the it's just gorgeous melody again, and it's, trust me folks, once you see this number on stage, you'll appreciate it too, just with the way
staging,
the lighting works.
Yeah,
and
beautiful.
You know, he's just there in the midst of all this craziness, and you just kind of
he's in the center of all of it, swirling around him and shit's about to hit the fan, and he knows that, so he's just gotta
you gotta do it.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great number.
All right, so that's number two. What is number one in
number
tier
one
number
is
two?
The other side of what happens from the hurricane, and that is burn.
Let future historians wonder how Eliza reacted when you broke her heart. You have torn it all apart. I'm watching it burn.
Man, this song. If there's any doubt about Philip Asu being just a superstar, just put it to bed here.
This is so simple. It's literally just her sitting on the floor with a lantern and the letters.
Mm-hmm.
And she just roasts him.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing is like the key is minor on this song, you know, so it's automatically a sad sounding song, but you're right, it's so delicate, this song is. But she is literally sitting here like, I am done with you. I'm not just like, you know, like,
I'm not just done right now, I'm done with our past too. Like, yeah, I'm burning all
of
I'm
this
lighting
down.
It up.
Like, all of this is built on a lie.
You thought it was cool to like tell the entire world like in a freaking pamphlet that you slept with somebody else. Well, here's everything that could have redeemed you and made people think you were a good person. Mm-hmm. On fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Torched.
Yeah, and it's definitely, you know, just a scorned person taking her revenge in the best way she knows how, because again, what did Alex, like, you know, value so much? His writing and his words. And
I think too, like, what I love about this is like, it's not like she doesn't like scream belt it or anything like that. It's just very tame.
It's not an anger song, it's an anguish song.
It really is. And she just, I mean, I think the way she emotes, like the emotion in her voice, is what takes over. And you don't need like, you know, like screaming anger. Like, you don't need like yell belts. You don't need any of that. It's just the simplicity of it, and just the, I mean, she sounds beautiful when she sings it, but mm-hmm. you can just hear the anguish like in her tone.
Yeah.
And it's
and especially the part comes to mind is the you.
Yeah, that's where, and then she breaks down. But you don't need, like, it's not even, that's almost like spoken.
Yeah. Oh no, it's a literal cry.
Yeah.
And it's literally like, she's trying to still stay all self-composed and what women were expected at the time. But even there, it's just like, this has literally always been about you and you and you.
And that's,
like,
I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So it's, I had a hard time not putting this in the top, because I
know,
love this piece.
This one was so hard to keep out of the 12,
fine.
But also just that final burn at the, I hope that you burn.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's savage, man. I gotta tell you.
And she gets to light real stuff on fire every night.
Yeah,
that's
how many people?
Awesome.
Yeah, if you get to light things on fire on stage, you are in a special class.
Yeah.
All right, so we are here, Sarah. We are at the top 12 songs in Hamilton.
Ooh.
I can't believe we made it here. All right, like, if you have hate mail, folks, send it all to Sarah.
Oh, please.
All right, so again, this is the top 12. This is just our opinion.
Yep.
Don't hate us, Lynn. We love all
just
of these.
Just our opinion. This doesn't have to be anybody else's opinion. This is just what we think.
Exactly.
So.
All right, so let's do it here. What is number 12, Sarah?
Number 12 is Dear Theodosia.
Come of age with our young nation. We'll bleed and fight for you. We'll make it right for you.
Dear Theodosia. You're right. Like, this is such an interesting, like, it comes after the Battle of Yorktown, which is just pure energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this tender ballad that Hamilton and Burr sing to their newborn children.
Yeah, I mean, that's like I told you. Like, you feel like that's the end of Act One. You literally feel like it. Then all of a sudden, you're just like, oh, well, what's this?
And again, you want to talk about just Lynn's songwriting ability, just how beautiful and simple this melody is.
Oh, it's just, yeah,
It really is a lullaby
of
sorts. And again, though, what I love the most about this, aside from that, and just the sentiment, you know, being a new father and all, like, hearing the song. I swear to God, once you have a child and you hear the song, you're just,
yeah, when we went to
never
see this, I'm not kidding you. Like, my husband, I look over and he had, like, a snot rocket in his beard. Like, he could not breathe.
You couldn't have just said I was crying.
No, because there was a full-on snot rocket.
Could have just said he was crying.
No, he was more than crying. He was openly weeping and dripping.
Well, it's just because it does speak to, like, you know, these are two guys who just fought a revolution and everything, and yet the thing that makes them most nervous is sitting here and being a good father.
Holding this ticking time bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it just has such great words. You know, you'll blow us all away. You'll come of age in our young nation. Uh-huh. We'll bleed and fight for you. It's just, the whole thing is just filled with, like, beautiful you know, worrying about being a father and what children mean to
and again, it just it humanizes these people so much. It's just like, look, they worried about being good fathers and, you know, like these giants of our history. But also I love that, again, the whole show really, you could say, is about the differences, and the similarities between Hamilton and Burke.
Here's one of the similarities. Here's a moment where they're feeling the same emotion.
Yeah. And it gives you just a bigger sense of that tragedy at the end of all of this. Is just like, these guys had way more in common than they thought.
Yeah, than they ever knew. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just it's a beautiful song. It's just an ode to any child.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous.
It's just, yeah, so. Absolutely. And Sarah and I sang it for a web series. You'll probably see it. All right. So number 11 is going to be The Room Where It Happens.
No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened.
Not just the hashtag of when you're actually going to see the show. It's also just a fantastic
number. I remember, like, before I'd listened to Hamilton, I kept seeing people, like, hashtag that. I was like, is that just, like, they mean they're, like, at the show? You were like, no.
It's a song.
It's like a song. I was like, oh. I was late to the Hamilton.
But I got
to
tell you what a song it is. So, A, like, you noticed this about just, like, the musicality of it, of what it sounds like, you know?
What did I say?
Well, like, just the, like, the kind of speakeasy aspect.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
I always do, like, that, like, little jazzy dance when I hear this one. Yeah, it's just, this one has a completely different feel than any other number in the show.
Yeah.
You know,
it kind of feels like that, like, yeah, like kind of like a Bob Fosse number.
It's a real jazzy, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like you want to go to, like, I don't know, I feel like Zoot Zoot Riot kind of situation.
A little bit.
You know what I mean?
And of course, the background of this one, the historical background, this is, of course, the famous compromise that Hamilton, Madison, and Jefferson ironed out so that the national debt of the United States and the centralizing of the banks in New York could happen.
But
and in
nobody
exchange,
else heard the conversation.
Yeah, and in exchange, Washington, D.C. became the capital instead of New York of the United States. But this is the thing. Only the three of them were in the room. None of them ever wrote it down what happened.
And it was like they were all opposed to these things before they went into.
They're all enemies. Yeah.
Yeah. So how the hell that happened, no one knows. And especially Burr, and it's Burr, the outsider. It's not anyone that was in the room that talks about it. It's Burr, the outsider, that sings the song.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, he's just begging to be a part of things.
Yeah. And that's where it comes from. And this is where his drive to become part of this happens. You know, I want to be in the room where it happens. Just like, and this is where Leslie so gets
to
shine.
I was gonna say,
man.
This is like such a cool moment for Burr because he has great songs all throughout the show. You know, we haven't even got to his best yet.
Yeah.
But like, this one just, it's so different from anything else he sings. And, you know, the actor playing Burr just really gets to just unleash here.
Yeah. And I love that, like, the song really builds like this big crescendo in the middle. And then literally everything drops out. And all you hear is just a really soft Burr voice. I want to be in the room where it happens. And then it just keeps growing and growing again.
Yeah.
And so it's just
pretty
like,
sure he jumps off a table at one point.
Yeah. Like that. Yeah. It's just like, but it gives you that drive that's going to define Burr for the rest of his life, or at least until the duel with Hamilton.
It's just a killer song.
It's just awesome.
It's just awesome. Everything about it.
It's just awesome.
It's just the musicality of it. Everything. It's fantastic.
That's out. All right. So now, Sarah, what is our number 10?
Our number 10 is The Schuyler Sisters.
Look around. Look around. How lucky we are to be alive right now. Look around. Look around. How lucky we are to be alive right now.
Man, I can't believe this is number 10. I don't know, like, how much embarrassment of riches we can have at, like, the opening of this musical. Every single song slaps so hard. And this is another one. Like, it comes after The Story of Tonight, which is this nice melodic thing. And then we just get, bam, right back into those R&B thing. And, yeah, we got to meet the ladies.
I know. I just remember, like, you know, the image that's always ingrained in my head of Hamilton is just the three girls with, like, their snaps.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's just what you think of, you know, and that's the song. And it's just great.
And again, just some of the best lyrics in the whole show. History is happening in Manhattan. We just happen to be in the greatest city
in the
world.
Yeah, the wordplay. I think Aunt Peggy is great, too.
Yes. Poor Peggy.
Peggy matters too, guys.
Peggy does matter. This is a great introduction to the sisters, though.
Amazing.
And especially Angelica Schuyler, because, you know, we're going to get the big part of her in another song coming up here. But you know, like the thing about this number, though, is that it also gives us that sweetness of Eliza, too, and how a woman's perspective on the revolution that was happening at the time.
Right. Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I think I play this one the most.
Uh-huh.
I always put this one on first when I'm listening to Hamilton.
Yeah.
Because I just love it. It just has such a great melody. It's like, you know, like the whole, "Burr, you disgust me."
Ah, so you disgust me.
I mean, just like the wordplay.
The wordplay is all over the place. And plus, I'm a trust fund baby. You can trust me. but also, I mean, come on, we got to call out the, you know, include women in the sequel, "Work."
Work. I mean, there's so much work in there.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's, I mean, the melt, it's just, I don't know. It just jams.
Yeah, it's just, it slaps, dude.
It's great.
Everything in this show slaps. All right, so that's our number 10, the Skylar Sisters. Now we're going with number 9 and something completely different. It's "Quiet Uptown."
If you see him in the street, walking by himself, talking to himself, have pity.
Philip, you would like it uptown. It's quiet uptown.
And it may seem weird to put this higher than some of these more upbeat numbers, but this is just such an important piece.
It's given what this song makes you feel in the moment and afterward, you would think that this would be one you wouldn't want to listen to, but damn it all, if the melody
is so pretty. I'm the worst. Like, you're always like, why do you play that one? Because I've never listened to it and not cried.
Yeah, I mean, either. Because, and of course, this is where Philip Hamilton has died, and we get kind of the aftermath of it and of how heartbroken Alex and Eliza are, but ultimately how that does also lead to their reconciliation. But there's, again, just away from the melody, you know, like all of that, some amazingly, deeply profound lyrics when it comes to grief.
Yeah, and it's not just, you know, the whole, like, we just got through talking about, like, Burn and everything. Like, after everything Eliza went through, you never thought she could forgive him. Uh-huh. And when he does, or, you know, when you get to that, forgive him, yeah, she takes his hand. It's just, like,
it kills right you. There. It just, kills you.
It rips you apart.
And trust me, again, seeing it live, seeing Alexander's response to it is gut-wrenching, too. But, you know, he's speaking to Philip, you know, talking about how he would like it uptown where they are now, and
I know, and I like that it comes, like, from, like, the outside, like, the ensemble perspective.
Yeah.
If you see him in the street, like, they're just kind of glancing, like, you get some of Alexander's
perspective. They're
trying to
do the unimaginable.
Yeah, you're, like, getting it from the outside perspective, just seeing this family just have been ripped up.
And the fact that Renee gets to sing it as Angelica is quite good, too. But, of course, one of my favorite lines of all time, you know, like, the moments when you're in so deep, it feels easier to just swim down.
Yeah.
And that's just, man, how many of all of us have felt that before?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just it's one of those that's always going to stick with me.
It's rough, but it just does its job so well.
It's all in the span of 5.5 minutes. You go from insane grief to kind of like cathartic.
Yeah, I mean, like, it even has that. Like, I mean, like the way the music goes with like the forgiveness. Like, it can you imagine? It just kind of opens up. It just sounds like a heavenly chorus almost.
A little,
like, on
bit
that
there,
moment,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's beautiful.
Can we get to something happier?
Yeah,
now?
Number 8.
Yes. What's number 8?
Helpless.
Boy, I got the helpless.
So if you didn't see the video of The Roots and Jimmy Fallon and the cast doing this, I highly recommend it because it shows you just how well this song works in any situation.
Yeah.
This was the first song I ever heard from Hamilton.
First one you ever sent to me.
Yeah. And I gotta say, man, this song is just so damn good. It's just the melody, the music, the way it all works. Like, just take the story out of it. I could hear this song on the radio just all the time. I mean, it sounds, I know, like, we get to the Ja Rule part, but it kind of sounds like an Ashanti Ja Rule, like, thing, you know, that you would hear in, like, the mid-2000s.
It's just such a, like, a cute love story in the way that they...
Yeah, the story of how Eliza and Alex meet and ultimately get married.
Yeah, that happens pretty fast.
Yeah, all
in one song.
Like 4 minutes.
But yeah, it's just, she has just such a, Philippa Sue just has the most pure, crystal clear voice ever. And she's just so.
Yeah, because this is the first time we really get to see Eliza, you know.
Yeah, because she doesn't do a whole lot. She's in Skylar Sisters, but that's really Angelica's, you know, vehicle. But this is her, you know, her first really big thing. And it's just, I don't know. It's just, she, mm-hmm. it's kind of love at first sight. And she says, you know, she sees him across the room and she's like, he's mine.
Yeah. Basically. Mine, Angelica.
And she, yeah, she sees her sisters with him. And you can see, like, she feel, you can tell that Eliza feels, you know, kind of less than Angelica. Like, mm-hmm. if Angelica gets her hooks into him, he'll never love me. But mm-hmm. he just, I don't know, just the sweetness in it and the way she,
yeah,
just articulates herself in this. It's just, it's a beautiful love
yeah, but
song.
Again, the great wordplay that Lynn gets to do there, like in the middle where Alex is asking for, you know, Eliza's hand in marriage. It's like, I'm dying inside as you whine and dine. Like, yeah. And I don't know if I've ever heard like an artist like be able to rhyme that many like words in a quick succession
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
That's very good. That's almost Sondheimian in a way, you know, like.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's like on a more like hip hoppy level.
Yeah. But this song is just so damn good. It's I love beautiful. Every single moment of it.
Me too.
It's always one of my first listens when I'm listening to Hamilton.
Me too.
All right. Well, what is number seven?
Number seven comes right after it, but.
Yeah. So number seven is Satisfied.
I remember that night. I just might regret that night for the rest of my days. I remember those soldier boys just fed over themselves to win our praise.
Comes after it, but is actually during it.
Before it, and after it. I got to tell you, folks, when we saw this live, this was the song that blew me away the most, just the way that it all comes together.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, I mean, just like, especially after the toast and when we're rewinding, you know, rewind. You know, you just see all these people moving backwards, and the way like they're revolving around Angelica and the lighting. It's just so intense. And of course, we get the other side of Helpless,
yeah.
which is Angelica's perspective.
Yeah. And how basically Angelica like let her sister have him, even though she
wanted him, but she also didn't think she would be allowed to because he's penniless and, you know, like she's expected more.
I mean, she just basically goes through and explains like every thought that went through her head in that like 10 minute time frame. When she introduced Alex to her sister.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, she's saying here, and it's pretty true. I mean, when she goes through her life, she is not really satisfied ever.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not to say that she would have been with Alex, but
her
perspective.
A chief hallmark of both of these characters, you know, like, especially their meeting, you know, you strike me as a woman who has never been satisfied.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's talking the same thing about him. But also just kind of what is so amazing about this number, though, is that it Renee gets to just do so many awesome raps in this in the middle, especially the three things, you know, that she's fundamental truths at the exact same time.
Yep.
But this is also where you're right, get the sense that she could have had Alex. She wanted Alex, but she knows that her sister is in love with this guy, right?
And she knows that her sister would have let her have him because of her sister's gentle nature.
Yep.
But she also loves her sister enough that she let her have
and
him.
As she says at the end, you know, at least
he's in my life
if he's married to Eliza.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing there, but again, just like some wonderful wordplay in the middle of this song too.
I mean, I rap it in the car and I know I sound like an idiot, but
you gotta
have some like real rap skills, which I do not possess, but yeah, it's just it's so fun to sing, it's so fun to listen to. It's
Like I'm the oldest and the prettiest and the gossip in New York City is insidious.
Oldest and the wittiest.
Yeah
So it's awesome. And the fact that, like, the way that it's, like, interweaved and like, the fact that, like, it rewinds. Like, it literally rewinds. Like, the music rewinds
itself. The stage rewinds.
Yeah,
it's quite amazing.
It's really cool. So, yeah, it's definitely the show-stealer moment for Angelica.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, folks, we are at the top six.
Top six.
I keep wanting all these songs to have a special thing. All right, number six, Sarah. What is number six?
Number six is the finale. Who lives? Who dies?
And when you're gone, who remembers your name? Who keeps your flame? Who tells your story?
Who tells your story?
Who tells your story?
Who, man?
Yeah, I can't.
We couldn't get this in the top five.
I'm gonna have a real. I can't even talk about. Like I said, I cry on It's Quiet Uptown. I weep on this.
Openly
one.
Weep.
Is it not every time?
Every time.
Like
every single
literal,
time.
Like,
me too.
Like lump in my throat. Like tears streaming. Yep. I can't get through it.
Yep. Can't get through it either time. So this encompasses basically the what happened to everybody you just seen.
Where are they now?
Where are they now? Thing, but most of them are in the context of Alex and their thing to that, and just. Just that, like at the very beginning, just hearing Christopher Jackson sing the Who Lives, Who Dies, like theme
history
has its eyes on you. And then just hearing all these people, like, I love that it starts with Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, two of his fiercest rivals. You know, and they came out.
I tried.
Couldn't undo it if I tried, and I tried. But, like, ultimately, this is kind of... It's. We'll get to Eliza's part and everything else, too.
Like I was saying, it really kind of is a tribute to her.
Yeah, in many ways. But, like, this is, like, the point of the show, Hamilton, is that all of these amazing things he did, all of this amazing life that he led, and what do most people know about him? That he died in a duel with Burr.
And he's
on the $20 bill. $10 bill. He's on the $10 bill.
You didn't even
bill.
Know that.
Yeah. He's on the $10 bill. He died in a duel, and maybe that he founded the Treasury Department. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's all anybody remembers about that. And like he said in the duel song in The World Was Wide Enough, is this how you're going to remember me? And then this song literally gives that purpose, gives this show not just an entertainment value, but a educational value, this song does. But that's just the big theme of it. But then we get to Eliza's part.
Well, yeah, I mean, but, like, the fact is, like, he wouldn't be remembered at all if it weren't for the things that she did. And it's like, I tell you, like, every time it gets to that part when they're like, Eliza, that's when I die. Because it's just like,
It's because, and it follows the line, you know, every other founding father story gets told. Every other founding father gets to grow old. And Burr singing right before this, and when you're gone, who remembers your name? Who keeps your flame? Who tells your story? And they answer it with Eliza with the same musical
melody. And it's just like, I'm just always like, and she just tells everything.
It's such a delicate way she sings this too.
And she tells everything that she's done, you know, to keep his memory alive. And like the theme of like, she got the time that he didn't get is what just
the way that the chorus keeps singing time in this piece, like every time it comes. Oh no, not even there, but just like, you know, the Lord in his kindness gives me more time. Everybody sings time. Like
the whole
they do
thing
that.
Is just about the fact that because she got 50 more years that he didn't get, and she used that time to
and
make
she
sure keep, that
and
his,
she keeps telling herself, you know, like, what would you do if you had more time? Yep. And that's what I'm gonna do. But the part that always gets you. Is when she talks about raising money for the Washington Monument, and you hear Christopher Jackson just sing that gorgeous line of "She Tells My Story."
I always just, it just gets me in the feels.
Well, because it gets to, again, like the point of the show, but also the point of our lives. Like, we all want to be remembered. We all want to do something that's going to be remembered.
But in order for that to happen, someone has to remember us.
Yeah, somebody has to tell your story. And look, I'm going to write a whole article about the very, very end of this show. You don't hear it on this soundtrack. The gasp is what we're going to call it. But just the way this show ends is so amazingly perfect. I couldn't imagine a more perfect way to end
the show. Yeah, once her time's over, she goes and she gets to be reunited with Alex.
Yes.
But then right at the very, she's seen him at the very end. He kind of gestures out towards the audience.
Yes, and this is our theory.
And she turns and she looks and then she goes...
There's a giant gasp that she does to end the show. Most people think this is her, like, seeing her, you know, family and Alex and everyone else again.
But she already saw him.
But we don't buy that. We think it's actually a breaking of the fourth wall where Eliza gets to see that because of her efforts...
Like,
something like this musical has happened.
Right. The whole point is, like, all she's worked towards is to make sure that people remembered her husband, remembered what he did. Well, she's seeing, like, look at this room full of people watching a show about him because of her.
And the name Hamilton is probably more famous than it's ever been.
Right.
Because of this.
I never thought that it was anything but that.
I did too. But again, article coming. more arguments.
I'll fight you if you don't agree with me.
Exactly. All right, Sarah. Top five.
Okay, there you go.
These were very hard to put in order, people.
Yeah, really hard. We fought about this for like a week.
We really did. Okay. All right, what's our number five?
Number
Sarah?
Five is Yorktown. Get the bullets out your gun. The bullets out your gun. We move undercover and we move as one. Through the night we have one shot to live another day.
We cannot let a stray gunshot give us away. Damn, man.
Well,
you want to just talk about, like, the definition of pure energetic Broadway entertainment here? Like, I remember when I saw this at the Tony Awards, and I was just like, I've got to see this show immediately.
Me
because
too.
It's just filled with energy, and the song itself is just filled with energy. Like, this sounds like a battle on an ancient battlefield, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. It's just pure, like... bottled energy that just explodes, mm-hmm. you know, and like it.
But I mean, it doesn't just stay that way. I mean, like, we get a lot of history in this. We learn about, you know, Alex ordering all of his men to
take
the bullets out of their guns so that nobody does a stray shot while they're trying to sneak into position.
But, like,
we learn about Hercules Mulligan's efforts to spy on the British.
I guess to say the F word, which is awesome.
Exactly.
But no, it's also too, like, the way this whole thing is staged is just freaking unreal.
Oh, yeah. The dancing, the way that it's like dance battling and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think the seminal moment of the song, and my favorite, is when it slows down. Also, just like when, you know, we get the ring outs after the big dance fight sequence, and, you know, all of a sudden he's like, oh, there's a white flag waving.
Oh, yeah,
and everybody's just kind of like stunned. And you can hear it in their voices, too, the way they're singing things. It's just like, wait, is this happening? Like,
we
did this. Yeah. But I would be remiss if I didn't call out, you know, black and white soldiers wonder alike, does this really mean freedom? And George says, not yet.
Not yet.
And we're still kind of fighting that, but that battle. But I love that.
It definitely feels like the end of Act One, like we've said like four times, because it's just so like energetic. It just like feels like, okay, I need a break after that. Dang,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? But it's like the moment that they've been working for the entire. You know, that's what.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're all gonna get pumped up when they do the "We Wons" at the end.
I know you can't not scream that out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's just sheer awesome.
Yeah, sheer awesome.
Sheer awesome.
I could have easily made a case for any of these five as the number one, and this
100%.
Is pure evidence of that.
100%.
So, all right, Sarah, what's our number four?
Number four is One Last Time.
One last time. The people will hear from me one last time.
Oh, Christopher Jackson, just sing it to me forever.
I think this is the only Act Two song that's in our top.
Yeah, actually,
five.
Now come to think of it. Well, the room where it happens.
No, top five.
Oh, top five. Yeah, this is the only Act Two song in the top five. Yeah, man. I mean, again, you kind of have to always analyze these songs in terms of, yeah, okay, the melody's great and gorgeous and one of the best Broadway's ever seen. but like the way, the meaning behind this song and the sense of, you know, George Washington at the height of his power said, I'm good. I'm good. It's better for me to move on now so that the country learns to move on.
Right.
And the way that that is put here about one last time, you know, they're going to hear from me one more time and then I'm done. And then it's up to you guys. And I'm going to give you guidance. I'm going to give you these words. And I absolutely love the section in the middle where,
the speech to
like Alex is
Alex
singing the speech to, or Alex is reciting
it.
The speech to.
He's writing it for him. And then it's basically transitioning from his writing it to
speaking
George
of
giving
it. Into
it.
George giving it with music. And the way that those overlap is just like, I swear, like, historical text has never felt more alive than in that moment.
And I think they did this on the Kennedy Center Honors, and it was just amazing.
Just
they had, like, a chorus behind it. Just go look it up right now. It's freaking gorgeous.
But, I mean, like, and there's also the famous video of when Hamilton went to the White House and Christopher Jackson singing this,
like,
a couple months before Obama was leaving the White House. And it's just like, Every president, every politician, every person should need to see this. It's just like, power is not something for you to get and keep, you know, in this country.
It's
for
to use correctly and then move on.
And then you move on because that's what's best. And again, like, I can't say enough about George Washington's genius in that, but this song perfectly captures
that. Yeah, and just Christopher Jackson's portrayal is just unreal.
It's just so great. If you haven't seen the Hamilton's America documentary, too, there's a great section with Christopher Jackson where he goes to Mount Vernon and...
Yeah, to do research and stuff. And
yeah, it's wonderful.
It's another one of those songs that just, it gets you in the feels, it gives you the chills,
gets you right in the feels.
Yeah, the, you know, the end, and his end notes are just oof. Yeah. It's just amazing. It's just a freaking awesome song.
Absolutely. All right, number three is
My Shot.
I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry, and I'm not throwing away my shot.
Yeah, I think we're going to have people upset that we didn't put this number one.
Cliche.
Yeah, we're not going to do that, people.
No,
just
we're
because.
Not. This is our ranking.
It's ours.
Okay, you don't have to listen to this and agree with us. This is just what we think.
But listen to it. no, like, look, all of these top three, I think you could interchange out if you wanted to.
Yeah,
but
sure.
My shot is just obviously, I mean, everybody knows this song, you know, like, and it,
this
and
is
it,
like what I'm saying. This is like the song everybody, like, the first, like, words anybody probably heard from the show were like, young, scrappy, and hungry.
Shot. Yeah, like, you know, like, young, scrappy, hungry, just like my country.
I remember seeing, like, t-shirts that said that before I even knew the show. And so I just, you know, yeah.
And I mean, in press clips and everything else, it's often one of the first ones there.
Absolutely.
Because it's great energy. It's got a great theme to
it. The rapping, like, the wordplay in this song is freaking poetic.
You know, like, Lynn was just like, I'm a kid in a candy store. I'm gonna rhyme everything.
I'm going. I still can't do all of it.
Yeah. No, man, come on. You gotta do the beginning. Every burden, every disadvantage I've learned to manage. I don't have a gun to brandish. You walk the streets famous.
Okay, rapper. Okay, I can do that part. I can't do the end. But anyways, yeah, it's just, it's...
I mean,
it's arguably, yes, maybe it is the best song on the show. It might be.
But, you know, there's just a couple that we prefer a little bit more. But I love also that we get parts for Lawrence, Lafayette, and Mulligan in this, too.
And also the staging of this is just...
Oh, yeah. The way it kind of just grows and grows into this big anthem of independence. Yeah. But I mean, also just the theme of Alex's life, you know, like he's getting these opportunities. And, you know, considering where he came from, he's not going to throw away any opportunity put in front of him.
And he kind of has like those hurricane pause moments in the middle of it, too. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. The foreshadowing. God. Yeah. I imagine death so much feels more like a memory. You know, like, and that comes back
early in the show. This is the third song of the show.
The third song of the show. And that comes all the way back in the second to last, the 45th track on the CD.
Yeah.
I mean, just the planning of that.
I mean, this song is just, it's sheer genius, really.
Yeah, everything about it. So, okay, folks. Number two is...
Wait for it.
Wait for it. Oh, no.
It's Wait for it.
It's Wait for it. Okay, look, bad jokes aside. Oh, man. Literally, the battle that we had in making this list was, can we justify putting Wait For It as number one? Because, folks, I'm not kidding you. It is literally my favorite song in the show.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that. I didn't put it number one out of whatever. But
you
like,
didn't want to.
I know. I didn't feel like it could. But this is undoubtedly my favorite song in the show. This comes after Alexander and Eliza's wedding, where he meets up with the boys, and Burr is there as well. And Burr tells him of his forbidden love with a British officer's wife. And Alex, for his part, like, you know, he reacts like, you know, the oh shit, you know, like thing about it. But he keeps telling him, just like, Burr, do you love her? Okay, go get her, man. And this is just literally the perfect encapsulation of what makes Burr
like,
Burr.
Mantra. This is who Burr is.
But it gives you such a great history of his life, how his parents died when he was young, how, you know, his mother was a genius, but she never got to show it because that's just not what women were allowed to do then. And just some profound words in this, you know, like if you know, like if everyone I love has died, I'm willing to wait for it, you know, like, and how, you know, he plays it so cautiously because he's lost so much in his life.
He
up
has
to
so
this
much
point.
To lose, and he doesn't want to lose anymore.
Yeah, and that's the other section that you specifically love too, is just that juxtaposing with Alex in the middle of the song.
Yeah, I mean, he compares, you know, like a huge theme of the show is the comparison between Burr and Hamilton, and he does it himself here. You know, Hamilton, you know, how does
what
Hamilton,
is it like in his shoes?
Yeah, how does
Hamilton
he keep
doesn't
climbing?
Hesitate.
Yeah, you know, but he does. He basically is saying, like, Hamilton doesn't even think. He just acts.
Yeah.
But I constantly think, and I'm weighing everything out, but he is still surpassing me at every turn.
And it's that middle section there. He's just like, Hamilton faces an endless uphill climb. He's got nothing to lose, or he has something to prove. He's got nothing to lose.
Right.
You know? And, like, Burr, he's got this huge family fortune. He's got this huge family expectation on him to do something great. And, you know, it's just, it's too much for him to be able to be like Alex, even though he wants to be like Alex so much. And that's the ultimate tragedy that you get from this song. He admires Alexander. He admires his drive and his ability
to
go for what he wants.
Like
he wants to be
like
Alex.
He just can't. That's just not who he is.
Yeah. And again, I'm hoping they get a great shot of this in the Disney Plus version. But at the very end, you know, he's finally cutting loose, you know, and like the whole song, he's pretty rigid. But then he's finally, you know, his arms are flowing as he's talking about and he's doing these great runs and stuff. And then it builds to this mini crescendo. And then right at the very end, he stops himself and he freezes again. And he just says, wait for it while he's just staring into space. And like, and, oh man, everything about this.
And it's like, even like the song, like there's parts where like he literally waits to come in.
Yeah,
he waits for it. Like, I remember singing it in the car, like, and I was like, oh, I didn't wait for it.
I didn't wait for it.
Like, you didn't have to wait for it. It's just, it's, I don't know, the build in it, the performance of it. Cause, you know, it's called Hamilton, but it literally, this, there are two leading characters.
Don't forget, like, when the Tonys came around, Leslie Odom won the Oscar, the Tony for best lead performance.
Cause not, there's not Lynn. It's not just, it's, this story is, a lot of it's told from Burr's perspective.
Yeah, he really is. I mean, he's the beginning narrator. He's the end narrator.
He's kind of like the anti-hero in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
They both kind of are.
They both kind of are, yes.
So it's, yeah, it's brilliant.
Just love
brilliant.
This. All right, well, if you've been tracking with us and you've been crossing off all 45 other songs,
then you're a loser.
You...
But I'm kidding.
Don't talk about our audience that way. No, all right, what is our number one song, Sarah?
Our number one song is the number one song.
Alexander Hamilton.
What's your name, man? Alexander Hamilton. My name is Alexander Hamilton.
The opening of the show. Dun, 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 dun.
I'm sorry. Best opening ever.
Yeah.
Ever written.
Well, and that's the thing is like, it was between these two songs for us, and we just keep coming back to this, and it's just like, the way like the way that this song unfolds is like it's impossible to stop listening to the soundtrack after you hear
it. I know
this,
and I remember like when I first really got into it, like this is I just kept wanting to listen to this one. I yeah. literally listened to it like 50 times till I could get all the words.
Yeah.
I was getting mad that I wasn't getting it right.
Also, like it has this kind of Ballad of Sweeney Todd like quality to it too, where it's basically like giving you the story.
Like, yeah, you know what's gonna happen,
yeah.
but they're telling you what you're gonna see unfold in front of you.
Yeah, especially,
but it's done
yeah.
in such a way that it's just I don't know, they all and you don't even know who they are, you know, they're
yeah.
just each character main character gets a little section and they're narrating Hamilton's life.
Yeah, his early life up until the point where he arrives in New York for college. And
right.
it's man, you know, like Lynn often talks about like, you know, the inspiration for this musical came when he won his Tony for In the Heights. He went on a vacation and in the airport
yeah,
he picked up a copy of Alexander Hamilton's biography. And while reading it, he was just like, God, the things this guy went through and that he still rose up. This is a hip hop story.
Yeah.
This is literally a hip hop story. And you're right. Like just the way that we go from, you know, he was born in Puerto Rico. His mother died when they both got sick, but he survived.
We moved in with a cousin. Who
well,
killed
and first his father left.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the kid. I mean, before he was even 19, he had a freaking soap opera of a life.
Yeah, and then you know he's penniless and stuff. He's like, okay, cool, I'll work my way out of this.
And he
did. And you know, like everything about this, though, you're right. Like the melody line, there's so many motifs musically that come back.
Yeah,
in the show, based on just this, how many times do you hear that dun 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 dun? Dun? Like you hear it at least like 7 times in the show.
Absolutely,
and it always like belies like some kind of narration that you're about to get. And it's just, you're right. Like I literally think if you did a list of best musical opening numbers,
it wins.
It has
down.
To be at least in the top
no,
two.
No, it I wins mean. Hands down. I'm sorry. For me, there's nothing better.
Yeah, I agree. But
it's,
you know.
It's just, I don't know. It makes you just like hungry for more.
Yeah.
You know, and like, I just love how like, you know, it starts as like this kind of slow rap and then it just keeps rising until you
everything
have everybody
rising,
like,
yeah.
you know, we are waiting in the wings for you. It's just, you know, everyone's, I don't know. And then you get the, what's your name, man? I mean, that's just, that's like the iconic line of the
it
show.
Is. And of course, this is the first song that Lynn wrote based on this project. Because this project, it wasn't originally a musical. He was just going to do a mixtape
yeah,
of songs about Hamilton.
It like 10 years ago, 11 years ago? With
2009. So yeah, 11 years ago at the White House for like an America
More
poetry jam
night,
thing.
Yeah.
He debuted this song and then lo and behold for President Obama. And then later, well, 6 years later and a giant phenomenon and billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And here we are. And that is our number one.
I mean, it earns it.
It does. I mean, again, if you could really substitute any of the top five for the top spot if you wanted to.
But just hard. It's hard to put this, like, I just have a hard time being like, it's three. Because it's not.
Yeah.
For me. You know, I don't know. I just think it's.
It's just always what you think of when you think of the show. You know, like, you think of the opening track. You think of, what's your name, man? You know, all of that stuff.
Because it could stand alone.
It really could. I mean, if this was just a track, they can be like, that's cool.
Yeah. And I love that Burr starts it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so that's cool. It. Like, the person that killed him. Starts
yeah,
it.
The damn fool that shot him.
Right. It's It wins. I'm good. I'm okay with our choice.
Yeah,
I'm okay with it. We talked ourselves into it.
Yeah, exactly. all right. Well, you might not be okay with our choices, but that's all right, because you know what? You can give us your choices. All right. So find this episode wherever you want, or comment on iTunes, comment on our Facebook page, our Twitter page, our Instagram page, anywhere, and tell us what you think the top song in Hamilton is. And if you agree with us, if you disagree with us, either or, blah, 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 blah. Thank you so much for listening to both of these two parts on Hamilton, ranking all 46 songs in Hamilton. It was a journey, but we got there. And of course, Hamilton Week is not over. As I told you, tomorrow, listen to Beyond the Mouse's interview with Julius Thomas III, the current touring Alexander Hamilton. They had an incredible conversation with him about the show, about being in this role, and about playing this part. So you're not going to want to miss that. And then, of course, the film drops on Disney Plus July 3rd. We will all be watching it. We will be giving you a full disclosure treatment and many, many more things. And you'll see some videos as well on our Facebook page. So if you want to find us, the Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram, Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter, and, of course, nprillinois.org/program/Front Row Network. All right, Sarah, you got anything else to let everyone else know about before we go away?
No, I think I'm good to go. Yeah. I need to go check on my sleeping child.
Yeah, maybe one of those. All right, everyone. Thank you again for listening to these ranking of the songs of Hamilton. Lin-Manuel Miranda, tell us what you think. For the Front Row Network, I am Jeremy Gechner.
I'm Sarah Baltusevich Gechner.
And we will see you in the front row. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is a production of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio, Illinois. For more information and to see the full slate of Front Row Network shows, you can visit frnpod.com or nprillinois.org. You can also find and follow us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook and Instagram, and Front Row Reviews with a Z on Twitter.